Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Aleph. We are about to learn Perek Aleph of Yecheskel, which discusses the Maaseh Merkava. The Gemara in Chagiga says, Ein Dorshin B'Merkava B'Yachad Ela Imkein Hayachacham U'Mevim B'Daito. One may not learn about the design of the divine chariot unless he is wise and understands most matters on his own. How can we learn this perek then? Rav Lef explains that there are two levels that one can learn Maaseh Merkava. According to the Rambam, Maaseh Merkava is a discussion of the spiritual realms and creations. This is the level we cannot explore. Then there is a simple meaning of the verses according to the classical commentaries, which does not violate the prohibition of teaching Maaseh Merkava. We are going to learn the simple explanation of these psukim with Rashi, Mitzvah, David, and according to Chazal. When we read the words of the Perek, it will not be clear how they relate to the chariot of Hashem and how Hashem uses the spiritual world to carry out His will. There will be descriptions of the movement of chayos, celestial beings, of wings and faces and wheels. These are all symbols which are a close approximation to something resembling a spiritual truth, which we will not understand. Before we get to the Maaseh Merkava, the Perek begins with an intensity not found in other Nevi'im. Vayihi b'shloshim shana, and it was in the 30th year, v'arvi'i b'chamisha l'chodesh, in the 4th month, on the 5th of the month, v'ani b'socha gola al har kvar. I, speaking in first person, am in the midst of the galus, on the river kvar. Niftachu ha'shamayim, the heavens opened up, v'ar'eh maros elokim, and I beheld and I saw visions of Hashem. With all the other Nevi'im, we first learn their biography. Here, the introduction only happens in the 3rd pasuk. The current time and the current person getting the nevuah is insignificant when it comes to the strength and message of the nevuah that is about to be shared. The first words in the Sefer reference an event that happened 30 years ago. Rashi explains, as discussed in Sefer Melachim, there were a series of evil kings in the kingdom of Yehuda. Manasseh, followed by his son Amon, ruled for generations, and Torah was essentially forgotten from the Jewish people. During the time of Manasseh's grandson, Yoshiyahu, 30 years ago, before Pasuk Aleph, the Kohen Gadol Chilkiyahu found a Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash that started a tshuva movement. The rot that had been put into place during the time of Menasheh would cause the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed and Bnei Yisrael to go into Galus. The tshuva of Yoshiyahu would mean that the Jewish people would survive and still be worthy of Nevuah, even in Galus. All of the other Nevi'im received Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. Yecheskel is getting his Nevuah even while in Galus. Because he is in Galus, he receives maros, visions, as opposed to a mar'eh, a single vision, because his vision is less clear and is a composite of many visions at once. The visions he's about to have are similar, yet very different from a vision of Yeshaya. In Yeshaya, the Merkava vision is preceded by 5 prakim of introduction and takes up only a few psukim. Here, Yecheskel describes everything he sees in great detail. Chazal explain, Kol ma shara Yecheskel ra Yeshaya. Everything Yecheskel saw, Yeshaya also saw. Lama Yecheskel dome. What is Yecheskel compared to? Leven kfar shara asamelech. He's compared to a simple villager who comes and sees the king. And because he's so simple and has never seen the king before, he's very excited by it and is going to describe it in great detail. Uma Yeshaya dome. And who is Yeshaya compared to? Leven krach. To somebody who lives in the city where the king lives. Shara asamelech. He sees the king all the time. And so he doesn't feel it's necessary to describe all the particulars about what the king looks like. Yeshaya saw the Shekhinah in Eretz Yisrael on a regular basis, so he only describes what is unique, the Shekhinah leaving Eretz Yisrael. Yecheskel is in Galus, and he sees something he thought would be impossible. He has a nevuah of the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah is coming to him. So this is something he feels important to describe in great detail. Pasuk Beis, in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Yehoyachin's captivity, Yecheskel gives another date. This nevuah takes place in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5 years after Yehoyachin, Yoshiyahu's grandson, had been taken into Galus. Yehoyachin was exiled with the Cheresh Umasker, the carpenters and locksmiths, who Chazal explained were the intellectual and spiritual elite, the Talmidei Chachamim, the leaders of the Jewish people. 6 years later, the rest of the Jewish people would join Yecheskel. Right now, in this 5th year, 6 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is laying the groundwork so the nation being exiled would thrive. The third pasuk hits the pause button to introduce us to the person speaking. Hayo haya devar Hashem al Yecheskel ben Buzi haKohen. The word of God was to Yecheskel, the son of Buzi the Kohen, Peretz Kazdim in the land of the Chaldeans in Galus on Har Kvar on the river Kvar, Batia lov Sham Yad Hashem, and there the hand of God was on him. Now we are about to describe the Merkava vision. In the first pesukim from Dalet through Tes, the Navi describes how the Merkava enters and what it looks like. In Pasuk Dalet, he describes a great storm coming from the north with a huge cloud and a fire flashing up. It has a brightness around it, and out of the midst came something like chashmal out of the midst of the fire. The Merkava is symbolized as a fierce wind, as right now it is a destructive force. Rashi says that Hashem is unleashing the power of Bavel on the world, not just on Israel, so that even in destruction, Hashem is showing his concern to the Jewish people. Hashem does not want the Beis HaMikdash to fall into the hands of an undistinguished individual, so that the Jewish people would be mocked by the nations of the world. This pasuk uses the term chashmal. The Navi is clear that it is only something like, but not actually is, as he has no words to describe it accurately. Rashi says it could be a malach. The Gemara implies it is a mnemonic or compound word referring to angels. The Mitzvah David tells us it stands for chash, meaning silent, and malal, speech, meaning that it is proper to be chash, silent, about something we want to speak about when we cannot understand it. This concept of chashmal, being silent when we don't know what it means, extends to the rest of the parak as well. Pasuk Hey. From this fire comes a demus, something that resembles arba chayot, four living creatures. The Malbim tells us that these four chayos bear the Merkava, the chariot of God, which brought the Shekhinah to Galus. Each of these creatures had a demus adam, the likeness, something that can best be described as that of man. According to Rashi, although each chayo will have multiple faces, as we will soon see, the most prominent face was a human face, that of Yaakov Avinu. Pasuk Vav continues and tells us that each of the chayos had four faces, and each face had four wings. To understand this pasuk, we need to look forward in the perek. We will see that there are actually four sides to each of the chayos. Each of the four sides had four faces, so that each chaya had 16 faces. Each face had four wings, which brings us to a total of 64 wings per chaya. Altogether, the four chayos had 64 faces and 256 wings. Pasuk Zion. The chayos have a single straight foot from where the Gemara learns how we should stand during Shemona Esrei, and each set of wings have human hands underneath them. Altogether, between the sides, the faces, wings, hands, and feet, every aspect of the chayos resemble each other. When the chayos move, they didn't need to turn their faces, as they had faces in all directions, so that they are always moving forward. From Pasuk Yod to Yod Beis, it describes in more detail what the faces and wings look like. As we mentioned before, there were four faces on each side of each chaya. Pasuk Yud tells us that the main face was the face of man, and to its right was the face of a lion, to its left was the face of an ox, and they also have the face of an eagle. Two wings stretched and covered each face, and two wings covered the body. In Pasuk Yud Beis, it tells us that the chayas were always moving forward based on the ruach, the will of Hashem, and never had to turn. From Pasuk Yud Gimel to Chaf Aleph, it will explain how the Merkava moves. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, first the Merkava is described as coals burning like torches with fire and lightning around them and going between them. Chazal tell us that the fire is describing the job the Merkava is about to perform, as it is in charge of burning the Beis HaMikdash and the king's palace. The fire has a brightness because it is less destructive than hot fire. The Navi is pointing out that the only thing being destroyed are buildings. Hashem is not abandoning his nation. Pasuk Yud Aled, the chayos are running like flashes of lightning and quickly returning to their place. Yecheskel and Tesvav describes how they move. They have an ofan, loosely a wheel, a mode of transport of some kind, so that each of the four-sided chayos have one ofan. In Tezayin, Yecheskel tells us that the appearance was sort of the ofan was sort of like the appearance of a Tarshish stone, which is a brilliant transparent stone, and all the four looked alike and worked alike. Wheels acted as a wheel within a wheel so they could move in whatever direction was needed. These chayos also had backs which were very frightful and were full of eyes, so they would not need to swerve during their mission as they could see everywhere. Wheels moved together with the chayos and had no independent movement. If the chayos went down, they went down. If the chayos went up, they went up. Wherever was the ruach, the description of the will of Hashem, that's where the chayos went, and that's where the wheels went. Rav Hirsch points out a powerful lesson from this description. Truly, just like the chayos and wheels, only they could go where the Ratzon Hashem told them to go, everything in this universe, on every level, unites to bear Hashem's throne. Everything is on a straight course where the Spirit of Hashem sends it, and it can never deviate, just like the Merkava is described here. From Chaf Beis to Chaf Hei, the Perek explains the Rukia, the heavens, and the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne. Over the Chayos, there is a Demus, something resembling a Rukia, the firmament that appears like awe-inspiring ice, which spread out over the Chayos' head. The Chayos are under the Rukia, and as they move in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Yechezkel describes the intense noise their wings make, like torrential water. When the Chayos speakers sing, it sounds like an armed camp, but they stand still, their wings drop silently. The Targum says that these Chayos stood still when the Nevuah in the next parak begins. Rashi says that they stop speaking when Tzaddikim, who take precedence to these awe-inspiring Chayos, begin to sing. The Gemara says, "Ein malachei hashareis omrim shira lamala ad sheyomu Yisrael lamata." The malachim up in heavens can't sing shira until Bnei Yisrael does below on this earth. Pasuk Chaf Hei, the Nevuah of Hashem is about to be heard, so everything is silent. The last three psukim from Chaf Vav to Chaf Ches describes Hashem's presence and the throne of His glory. Pasuk Chaf Vav says, "Umima'al rakia asher al rosham," and above the rakia which was above the chayos head, "Kimar'eh even sapir," appeared like the appearance of a sapphire stone. "Dumus hakisei" was the appearance of the chair. "Val dumus hakisei," and on the appearance of what looked like a chair, "Dumus kimara adam alav," was something that appeared like a man upon it, nomala, above it. Hashem, of course, has no physical body. The way Yechezkel is trying to communicate, according to Mitzvos David, that he is perceiving the Shekhinah leaving the Beis HaMikdash like a king atop his chariot. Pasuk Chav Zayin. As Yechezkel is looking at this vision, he sees something that looks like Chashmal, which we already described as being an indescribable spiritual entity. Rashi says that this is a pasuk we cannot describe or even think about. Pasuk Chav Ches concludes the parak describing this vision as Kimar e hakeshes asher yeb anan biom hageshem, like the vision of a rainbow that's in a cloud on a rainy day. Kein mara hanoga, so is this bright vision, savivhu, going around. The mara demus kvod Hashem, it was a vision like the likeness of the glory of Hashem. A rainbow is a refraction of white light through the atmosphere. The colors don't actually exist, but they are there because of the way the white light reflects through something else in the universe. This is the closest description to what Yechezkel saw. The Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's glory, was only a reflection of a refraction of the effect of what Hashem was doing in this universe that cannot be perceived or understood in human terms. Yechezkel falls on his face, and the next parak describes what Hashem said. What is the message of this parak that we can take away with us? What are we meant to walk away from this Nevuah of the Merkava that we are not meant to understand that it was so important to include at the beginning of this Navi? The Jewish nation may be in Galus, but we need to know that the Shekhinah is coming with us. Hashem wanted us to know that we weren't abandoned. Any destruction will only be on sticks and mortar. Kedusha can still be found in people, and people can achieve great things even in Galus. Rav Poria puts this beautifully, to quote, "Man is considered worthy of receiving divine revelations even in the Gola. Even in exile, far away from the soil of God's sanctuary, mortals can attain the presence and nearness of God. This is the great truth that is recorded at the opening of our book of exile. Kam makom shagalu shechina imahem." In Gemara and Megillah, even in the exile, wherever they are exiled, the Shechina is with them. Wherever we gather together in His name, He will be near to us in His glory. Rav Breuer continues that the Merkava, the chariot as described here, is a divine guidance of human events. Chazal say that in reality, ha'avos heim heim ha'merkava. Men of Kedusha, like the avos, are the true bearers of the Shekhinah. Ikar Shekhinah b'tachtonim. The main space for Hashem's glory is not with the chayos in the Merkava, but with us in this world. The glory of Hashem is not seeking to be in the Rakia, as it's described in this parak, but seeks to be with man. Our Navi was in Galus, and he saw these visions. When Yaakov Avinu was fleeing Lavan and was also outside of Israel, he gets a nevuah from Hashem. The pasuk says, "Vayal me'alav Elokim b'makom asher diber ito." Hashem went up from him after the nevuah in the place he was. Hashem will come to man no matter where he is if he is worthy, and it is not, as it is not the place, but the man that is the basis for the glory of the Shekhinah.
Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.